agony within his limb had continued to spread gradually outward, and he watched with morbid fascination as the blackened veins within his arm continued to spread. Unable to avoid fixating on the wounded region, he was absently tapping his right hand in time with the pulsing of his heart when the door to the room opened.
"Oh," said an unfamiliar voice.
Jonan glanced in the direction of the door.
"I was not expecting you to be awake, or I would have knocked. Forgive me."
The intruder was a Rethri man, which made his age difficult to judge. From his carefully tailored trousers and silver-gilded overcoat, however, Jonan appraised him to be a man of wealth. His eyes were ocean blue, indicating a strong bond to the Dominion of Water.
"Oh, don't worry. I wasn't busy." Jonan gave a weak smile.
"Nevertheless, I've been rude, so you have my apologies. Taurean Dianis, at your service."
The man bowed formally at the waist, his right hand folded in front of him.
"You're not quite the Dianis that I asked for."
"Jonan Kestrian, I would bow, but given the circumstances..." Taurean chuckled lightly.
"May my daughter and I come in. In spite of appearances, I'm somewhat practiced in treating injuries, and my daughter more so."
Jonan nodded.
"I would be grateful for any help you can provide."
The man stepped inside, beckoning to an unseen figure outside of the room. A demure figure followed, stepping into the doorway and inside. The young woman was bronze-skinned and lithe, her eyes the deep brown of Seller's trees. She wore a green dress lined with golden thread, which served to accentuate the green highlights in her brown hair. Her resemblance to Riala was instantly apparent from the angles of her face, but her poise was antithetical to her sister's. Where Riala had the grace of a predator, this girl showed only the innocence of prey. Perhaps it was the thought that she could bring relief to his pain, but Jonan found the brown-eyed woman instantly captivating.
"Master Dianis, Miss Dianis, thank you both for coming to my aid on such short notice. Please forgive my disheveled appearance. I would be most grateful for any help you can provide."
"Of course."
Taurean approached the bed.
"Master Tetherial already regaled us with tales of your selfless bravery on the way here."
"Selfless bravery? Do they think I'm Talion or something? Maybe they're in the wrong room. Maybe I'm in the wrong room."
Jonan stretched his arm out across the bed toward the approaching man. Taurean visibly winced when he got a better look at it, beckoning for his daughter to draw closer.
"I can potentially slow the spread of the toxin with a stability effect," Taurean offered. "But unless Liara can remove it, there will be little chance of saving your arm."
"I understand. Please, do what you need to do. And I'll watch closely to make sure you don't make things worse. Where's Allah, dear? I could use his extra set of glowy green eyes about now."
Taurean nodded gravely and pressed both of his hands against Jonan's arm, closing his eyes for several moments. His lips tightened into a line.
"The poison has spread beyond the arm. There is also a spell effect of some kind still in place around the injured area. It is already slowing the spread of the poison and attempting to filter out the poison, but with little success. I take it this was Master Tetherial's work?"
Jonan shook his head.
"No, I believe it was, my friend Voriana."
"It is a clever effect, but one that will need to be undone for Liara to work. Ice sorcery would prevent her curative spells from spreading in the same way as it is attempting to slow the poison."
"Well, that's bad."
Aladir arrived in the doorway a moment later.
"Apologies for the delay. I needed to advise the ladies of the house about the situation. Lady Nakane wishes to visit at some point, but I told her that now would be an impertinent time."
Liara never turned her head toward Aladir as he spoke. In fact, she seemed to be deliberately looking away from him. Jonan would have been quite intrigued by the implications if he wasn't currently embroiled in worry about both his arm and the next necessary step.
"Ah, Master Tetherial."
Taurean lifted his hands from Jonan's arm and turned.
"Can you summon the sorcerer who cast the ice spell on Master Kestrian's arm? It needs to be undone for Liara to work."
Aladir quirked an immaculately groomed eyebrow. He looked about as skeptical as Jonan felt.
Voriana is resting. She exerted herself significantly in the battle. Is reversing the spell strictly necessary?
I'm afraid so. Liara utilizes nature sorcery in her curative techniques, and, as I'm certain you are already aware, that interacts poorly with ice sorcery.
Aladir scratched at his chin, in spite of it lacking any growth.
Very well. I will seek her out and return shortly. In the meantime, I would advise making any necessary preparations.
Of course.
Nature sorcery. That's interesting. Explains her beautiful, brown eyes. Attempting to restore the body to its natural state is a logical way to treat poison, but it's probably not going to be pleasant. He had expected Liara to be a water sorceress, since water sorcery was much more common and frequently used to treat poison. Water shaping, manipulating the composition of liquid, could be used to separate the poison from the blood and remove it from the body, most likely by draining it directly through the exit wound. He had never experienced that kind of treatment before, but he had seen it performed by a Thorngard friend in Sullir. Nature sorcery, on the other hand, would not separate or expel the poison. It would attempt to force the body to break the poison down into something harmless. Both forms of sorcery could potentially make certain maladies worse. Specific toxins reacted differently to sorceress intervention. This was, Jonan believed, why Riala had insisted on her sister examining and treating the wound. If Liara had created the poison, she would be aware of the proper treatment to use. Of course, Jonan considered, Riala probably assumes her sister would want to undo any damage to innocent victims like myself. It's probable that Riala is being hopelessly naive, and there's a good chance I'm about to be murdered by her uncomfortably attractive sister.
I suppose there are worse ways to die.
Can I examine your wound, Master Kestrian?
The girl turned her head in Jonan's general direction, but neither directly toward his eyes nor his wound.
Adorable.
Yes, of course you can, murder mistress. I would be much obliged if you did so, Miss Dianis. The brunette scurried closer, still never meeting his gaze, but finally turning her attention toward the injured limb. To her credit, her look on inspecting the wound was one of curiosity rather than the abject horror her father had displayed. She reached down, lifted his arm slightly, and gingerly turned it over, inspecting the exit wound. Frowning, she leaned closer and sniffed it.
The ice sorcery has been effective at slowing the poison's ability to cause damage, but the water key used as a filtration agent has been completely ineffective. If Master Tetherial had not been working to undo the internal damage, the necrosis would have already spread beyond your arm. His efforts have been impressive.
She took a deep breath.
I will need to reopen the wound once we begin the process in order to make direct contact with the poison. This will be uncomfortable, especially once the numbness from the ice spell fades. Do you have any questions?
Liara raised her head to look directly at Jonan. He turned his head away.
No, that was,
quite clear. Thank you. She nodded and looked back down at the wound.
I will begin as soon as the sorceress arrives and undoes her spell. Father, please bring me a chair.
Huh. She's vastly more assertive when she's working. Tyrion dutifully moved one of the nearby chairs next to the bed, and Liara sat, continuing to inspect the wound. She prodded at the areas where the blackened veins were visible, appearing entranced with the damage. He wasn't sure if she was practicing some kind of silent sorcery like his own, or just prodding at the skin out of boredom. He suspected the former, but it was the more disturbing answer. Assassin's sorcery had its name for a reason. Even as a practitioner of the same style of spellcasting, he had no way of detecting silent spells unless they were of a dominion that he was personally capable of using. Nature and life were not among those dominions, and neither was poison. If she was a poison sorceress, putting her in direct contact with his wound was a suicidal prospect. But he was no longer in a position to refuse. Sounding the alarm now would have been a dangerous complication, and one that could easily cost his arm. It was easier, if not necessarily safer, to trust Riala's judgment of her sister. Instead, he focused on the problem that Riala had been trying to avoid, constructing a new image of her in his mind. When Riala began to come into view, he made an assassin's move of his own. Disguise. He shaped the sight sorcery spell carefully, only capturing Liara, Turian, and himself in its effect. The alterations to Riala's appearance would be subtle ones. Changes to the structure of her face, the musculature in her arms and legs, and her apparent age. He had no need to change the color of her eyes. He had deduced that she had somehow already altered that herself. He had not yet determined if the appearance of her eyes was a persistent deception sorcery effect, or if she had actually managed to change her dominion bond. Either was possible, given her existing skills and her previous work with Adon. It was something he planned to ask her about eventually, but now was far from the time. Subtle though the changes were, Jonan judged upon seeing her revised appearance that it was sufficient. She no longer displayed the characteristic signs of resemblance to her family. Both Turian and Liara turned toward the newcomer as she entered. That gave Jonan an opportunity to raise his right hand and make a symbol of an eye with his fingers, a hand sign indicating an illusion. Her shoulders immediately relaxed as she took in the indication. Voriana! Jonan spat out the false name quickly, hoping to reinforce his message to her. These are the sorcerers Aladir summoned to assist me, Turian and Liara Dianis. Riala reacted to his cue immediately, bowing deeply. My earnest pleasure to meet the scions of such a respected house, my lord and lady. Turian and Liara bowed in return. The father spoke next.
Thank you. Your filtering spell was quite clever, and your friend was lucky to have your help. Unfortunately, it would interfere with my daughter's work. Could you remove it?
The former goddess nodded absently.
Sure, can do. Have you figured out the poison? Couldn't identify it myself. Exerted myself too much earlier to use my water sorcery.
Riala approached, casually taking a seat on his bed next to his legs. She lifted up his arm and put two fingers against his injury. Turian lifted an eyebrow, perhaps finding the young woman sitting on his bed inappropriate, but he said nothing.
Good. If she keeps projecting an attitude dissimilar from what he'd expect from his daughter, he's less likely to come to the same conclusion. She uses a bit of an accent when she's playing Voriana, but it's not necessarily enough to trick a family member.
Maintaining his spell would be difficult. He had already taxed his vision significantly in the battle, but he knew Riala was not in any emotional state to confront her father now. If he had to risk a small bit of his vision for her sanctity of mind, that was a sacrifice he was willing to make.
Dominion of ice, Riala incanted. Undo your hold and let the blood within his arm freely flow.
The words were unnecessary. They were another deflection, implying that she utilized a different style of sorcery. Jonan silently nodded in approval. She sprung up from the bed, and Aladir appeared in the doorway a few moments later.
Our spell is gone. Need anything else?
Liara took Jonan's right arm again, shaking her head.
No, I should be capable of working now. Might stay and watch if it's all the same to you.
Jonan gave Riala a quizzical look. She just grinned at him in reply.
As long as the patient doesn't mind being crowded.
Liara's words were full of weight, but Jonan shrugged.
And also hold still?
Sorry, I'll be more careful. Jonan closed his eyes, but he maintained his spell. I won't have any problem with people watching. Medicine is pretty fascinating. I'll be pleased to learn what I've been poisoned with.
As will I,
Liara replied.
Let us begin. Father, please hand me my tools.
Jonan's eyes opened wide, scanning for the tools. That didn't sound promising. Turian brought a case over to the bedside and opened it, revealing glittering metal implements within. The scalpels and bone saw reminded him of the blades he had once seen in a room in Orlan designed for torturing an Asharan prisoner. Intellectually, he had known that Liara had to reopen the wound somehow, but as she reached for the scalpel, he sincerely wished that there were a few sorceress words that would have done the job with less cutting involved. He didn't even feel the incision. Aladir's sorcery had closed the wound, but he assumed the damage to the tissue must have been too severe for the nerves to completely regrow. The numbness from the ice sorcery was fading, however, and he thought he could almost see the blackness in his veins beginning to spread. As blood began to seep from the wound, Liara pressed a fingertip against the injury, closing her own eyes.
"No,"
she mumbled, her jaw tightening. Her eyes remained closed for several moments, the remaining people in the room silent. Aladir crept closer as Liara focused, however, leaning up against the wall next to the bed.
"Within sword reach of Liara," Jonan realized. "And Riala. He may have suspicions of his own."
"I have never seen a toxin this insidious before. It appears to have been deliberately designed to resist conventional sorcerer's treatments. I don't..."
Liara reopened her eyes.
"My failure would be fatal."
"You must have confidence in yourself, Liara."
Her father rested a hand on her shoulder.
"Perhaps Master Tithiriel can assist you as well."
Liara nodded quietly.
"If his heart stops, Aladir must make it beat again."
"Well, that's only the most terrifying series of words I've ever heard. This should be a night to remember."
"I must begin now. Dominion of Nature, I implore you, let your strength purge the venom within his blood."
A hazel glow spread from her fingers into the wound, flowing into the wound and meeting with the blackness within. The essence felt like scalding water pouring into his veins, and he could not help himself from shuddering. Her hand clamped down on his arm, holding him in place, while Turian moved to the opposite side of the bed to hold his other arm as he began to shudder.
"Hold his legs," Turian instructed.
Aladir and Voriana each approached the bed and restrained one of his legs as he shook uncontrollably, tears flowing freely from his shut eyes. He clenched his jaw tight enough that he felt the right side pop. That was the only way he could keep himself from screaming. When the essence flowed out of his arm and into his chest, he could no longer hold back his voice, and he screamed until his throat was raw and his voice faded into a ragged whisper. Hours passed as Liara's spell wove through his bloodstream, burning every inch within him, and Aladir, Liara, and Riala held him until the last vestiges of his consciousness faded away. Chapter 20 Lydia 5 Mirrors.
"My apologies, Dame Hastings. You'll have to wait here until we can authorize your visit."
Lydia blinked at the House Theus guard, who gave her an apologetic look.
"Authorize? I'm here as part of an ongoing investigation. I believe we met last time I was here. Bernhard, correct?"
The guard nodded.
"I'm flattered you remember me. And yes, I remember you, but I still need to check in. I'll let you know as soon as I can."
Bernhard turned to the other gate guard.
"Roy, keep her entertained for a few minutes while I check inside."
The other guard, an older man with a thick beard, simply grunted noncommittally. Bernhard gave her a helpless shrug and headed inside the complex. Lydia folded her arms, glancing around the area while she waited. Roy stood behind the twin metal gates, held together by a thick length of chain secured by a series of locks. The keys were on Roy's belt. She had seen him use them to unlock the gate before. She counted four locks, each of which she could probably open by creating false keys with protection sorcery, a trick she had used before.
"Why am I even thinking about how to break into a place I'm supposed to protect? I must be spending too much time with Jonan."
Minutes passed before Lydia finally spoke. Roy clearly wasn't interested in being social, but curiosity was an incessant itch at the back of her mind.
"What's changed? Why the extra security?"
Roy turned his head, catching her eyes for just a moment.
"Someone died last night, miss. That's why."
Lydia shivered, falling silent. It felt like hours before Bernhard returned, though Lydia knew it could have been only a handful of minutes. Roy had steadfastly refused to provide any further information. He had claimed that telling her more would be up to the nobles of the house. As Bernhard approached, she spotted Aladir following close behind him, and she immediately felt a slight sense of relief. Of those she had feared dead, losing her partner might have struck her the most. Aladir's eyes were downcast as he approached.
"You can let her in, Roy,"
Bernhard said as they came closer to the gate. Roy nodded and removed his keys from his belt, unlocking the gates with excruciating slowness. Lydia practically flew inside once they were open.
"Bernhard, Aladir, please tell me what happened."
Aladir put a hand on Lydia's shoulder, shaking his head and closing his eyes.
"We failed, Lydia.
Baroness Theus is dead."
Lydia closed her eyes as well, putting her hand on top of Aladir's to offer him comfort. As her eyes closed, her mind swam with possibilities.
Baroness Theus was the next target? That leaves Nakane as the only living member of the family currently at the household, and in complete control while Edric is at war. Hartigan was quite insistent that he didn't believe her to be capable of killing her brother, however. I should consider the possibility that Hartigan was wrong. Conversely, I should also be strongly considering that someone may be attempting to wipe out the entirety of House Theus while Edric is away. Or, as implausible as it might be, Edric could also be a target. We haven't even attempted to contact him. Given his reputation as a powerful sorcerer, we've never even entertained the idea of a threat to his life. I have some information, but not much. Please fill me in while we head to the house. We should meet with Jonan and Voriana immediately.
You two are free to head in, but that last part might not work.
Bernhard shook his head.
That Jonan lad is in rough shape. Mayor said the boy is probably the only reason we're alive, though. Found the assassins before they hit and tried to warn us. Him and your girl managed to take care of a good number of them, but they got overwhelmed.
Jonan. Oh, gods. I left him here. If he dies...
He'll be all right.
Aladir squeezed her hand. It was only then that she realized how cold his fingers were, and when she opened her eyes, she noted that he was even paler than usual, a sign that he had been exerting himself with life sorcery again.
You managed to stabilize him? As long as Aladir was treating him?
Most of the work was on the part of others, actually. But come, walk with me. We have much to discuss.
Lydia nodded, turning back to the pair of gate guards.
Bernhard, Roy, thank you both for your diligence.
Roy visibly winced, and she realized in retrospect the wound her words may have caused. Bernhard smiled, though, and waved her away, and any further response died half-formed in her mind. Aladir tugged at her hand, leading her toward the house. He took on a meandering route through the gardens, and she realized that his intent was to give them a moment of privacy before reaching the building. After the pair glanced about to confirm that they were alone amongst the hedges, Lydia gave him a quizzical look.
Assassins struck late last night while I was heading back to the citadel. Fortunately, my walking path must have been predictable because Mare was able to find me after the battle. By the time I reached the household, the combat had concluded and the assassins had retreated.
Lydia nodded, leaning against the tree.
They left after completing their objective, I presume?
No. Nadelia lived through the assault. She was perfectly well in the morning. Some of the guards took a few scrapes. Jonan was the only person who was severely injured during the assault, a credit to his own quick thinking. I admit, I was somewhat concerned when you told me you were bringing in a thorn guard, but from what I've heard, he saved a lot of lives last night.
What precisely happened to him?
Crossbow bolt to the left bicep. Poisoned, of course, otherwise treating it would have been fairly trivial for me.
Only Aladir could say something like that with a neutral tone and a straight face. Treating damage to muscles is absurdly difficult, even for many veteran life sorcerers. And poison isn't your specialty, but you said you had help.
Yes, but therein lies my concern as well. At first, my assistance came from your other friend, Voriana. She had exerted her water sorcery abilities earlier in the evening by conjuring Dominion essence for antidote research. Unfortunately, that same antidote research was not applicable to flesh wounds.
Understood. Go on.
She used some sort of complex ice and water spell to slow the spread of the poison and attempt to purify it, but the treatment was largely ineffective. At one point during the evening, Jonan asked me to call upon Liara Dianis, a talented nature sorceress, to assist with healing his arm.
Lydia's eyes widened involuntarily at the name Dianis. Jonan had never explicitly told her that Voriana was Vorain, but the names were so obviously similar that she had pieced it together immediately. She suspected it was an intentional joke that only the three of them would understand. She already knew that Vorain was Riala Dianis from previous conversations with Jonan, meaning that Liara Dianis would be one of her relatives.
"I can see from your reaction that you either know or suspect something similar to what I've realized. Voriana is a member of House Dianis, most likely one of Liara's siblings or cousins."
Lydia didn't see any reason to hide what she knew on the subject.
"Yes, I suspected that immediately when I saw her, but I didn't think to tell you. Her identity didn't seem relevant, but I apologize for the lapse."
He shrugged.
"It wouldn't have seemed relevant to me either at the time, and people generally deserve their privacy. As far as you knew, she was just doing you a favor. But given the events of the last several hours, I now believe she may be more intimately involved in the situation, if she is not the assassin herself."
"You think Voriana put the idea to call her sister? Yes, it'd be her sister, in Jonan's head? Actually, she could have very literally done that. She's a deception sorceress. Could have even made Jonan think it was his own idea. Normally, he'd probably be able to sort through simple deception sorcery, but with poison pumping through his body, his mental facilities might be more limited than usual."
"I believe so. Certainly, he may have thought of it himself if he was already aware of her identity and familiar with her family, but there are other pieces of evidence that bother me."
"Go on."
"I arrived after the battle to find House Theus in chaos, but both of the ladies of the house unharmed. The lack of victims was miraculous, but even more so was the lack of casualties on the sides of the assassins themselves. In spite of being found quickly, apparently due to Jonan's sight sorcery, none of the assassins were caught. A bit strange that every single one of them managed to escape."
"That could simply be explained by them turning around as soon as it was apparent they'd been discovered."
"But from the accounts of the guards, that isn't what happened. The fight continued for some time. After Jonan was injured, Voriana went out alone to scare off the remaining attackers. When she returned, she explained that she had succeeded at forcing the assassins away but failed to take any prisoners."
"But you don't think that's plausible?"
"I think it's within the domain of possibility, but Voriana has at least ice and water sorcery at her disposal. Both are excellent disciplines for battlefield control. While she may have been too strained to use the latter due to her efforts to make the antidotes earlier in the day, ice sorcery alone may have been sufficient."
"She may have simply been focused on using it defensively. We don't know the exact capabilities of who she was fighting."
Aladir nodded, acknowledging the point.
"True, and I intend to ask her. But I have a few more things you should know before we go to speak to her."
Lydia adjusted her glasses.
"I'd be glad to hear them."
"When I went into the Dianis Manor, several members of the household were awake, in spite of it being the middle of the night. Turian, Liara's father, insisted on accompanying us to House Theus. I do not blame him for requesting to escort us, of course. I wouldn't let my own daughter wander out with an unmarried man in the middle of the night, paladin or not. He was right to do so. But the atmosphere at the house was full of tension, as if everyone had taken a deep breath and failed to let it free."
"The atmosphere of tension could have been your own perception. After all, you had just come from a battlefield yourself."
"True, and some sorcerers keep late hours, you among them."
Lydia leaned her chin against a hand.
"You know, you could use an example other than me when you're talking about murder suspects."
Aladir rolled his eyes.
"I could if I wanted to, true. Now, Turian and Liara both came in to help me, but they insisted we had to retrieve Voriana to undo her ice spell before they could work. I found that part a little suspicious too, but plausible. It's true that nature and ice sorcery don't mix well. When Voriana arrived, they didn't show any hints of recognizing her.
None."
"But you confirmed that she's Liara's sister, correct?"
Lydia nodded, turning her head away.
"I'm fairly confident of that, at least. Jonan has been working with this Voriana for several months. She went by Vorain in Orlan, and her real name is Riala Dianis."
Aladir pressed his hand to his forehead.
"Vorain! Of course! How did I miss a name that obvious?"
"It's only obvious if you already know she's Vorain, really.
The Vorenthal family is famous, and Anai is a common human name. Combining the two makes for a plausible name. She paused for a moment, considering. I would have expected her family to recognize her, but she's been in Orlan for years, and there are rumors her eye color changed somehow. Given that she was involved in Adon's experiments on Dominion bonds, it's possible her bond was altered somehow, which would explain her looking at least somewhat different.
I suppose several years apart and a change in eye color might be sufficient, but even then...
It does seem strange that they gave no reaction at all, unless they already expected her to be there.
Exactly. Finally, and the worst part of this, is that Baroness Nadelia Theus died just this morning, long after the assassins fled. She fell from the tower overlooking the manor. She was dead upon impact. There was nothing I could do. There were no signs of forced entry in her room, nor any signs of a struggle.
I'd like to see that myself. Not that I doubt your capabilities, of course, but you're not a knowledge sorcerer.
Oh, I quite agree. You should inspect the scene yourself. But I did search it well, and I did find something. Something I haven't told anyone else about yet.
He opened a pouch on his belt, removing an envelope with a broken wax seal. He handed the envelope to Lydia. Lydia retrieved the letter from inside the envelope.
My darling husband, do not mourn me. I am doing what I must do in order to protect what remains of our family. Am I taking the coward's path to avoid facing you? No. I wish that I had the time left to see you one last time, but that is not to be. Sometimes fate forces our hand, and for that I am sorry. I will always love you. Nadelia.
Lydia pondered the contents of the note, carefully folding it and returning it to the envelope.
The structure of the main body of the text is unusual. Disjointed.
Yes, precisely.
Aladir placed the note back in his pouch.
I considered showing it to Nakane, but she is in a tender state, and I do not believe she is ready to see it yet.
The writer, if it was Nadelia, claims to be doing this, presumably killing herself, to protect her family. Can you think of any reason why ending her own life would do that?
Perhaps she was being extorted somehow. If this was some sort of vendetta against the family, perhaps a certain number of lives were demanded in recompense for a past event. In any case, it's obvious the Baroness knows something we do not.
Knew, not knows. She's dead. She doesn't know anything. It should be in the past tense.
Lydia barely restrained the urge to correct Aladir's grammar. She knew it wasn't the right time.
All right. I can see why you're suspecting Voriana, given the timing and her behavior during the assault. Did she have any opportunity to confront the Baroness at some point between the assault and Nadelia's death?
That's my biggest problem. I don't know. The Baroness had guards on her doors at all times, but she might have had a way around that.
Lydia frowned.
Deception sorcery could be used to convince someone to open a door, but the guard would have remembered. Wait, we're overthinking this.
Riala didn't necessarily even need to meet with the Baroness last night if she had threatened Nadelia at some point before. The attack could have simply been a reminder of a previous threat. Aladir nodded and then yawned loudly.
Sorry, haven't been able to shake this exhaustion.
You should eat something, especially since you just healed someone. You're always terrible about that.
He nodded sheepishly.
I will. But you needed to know about this first, and we should probably confront Voriana before doing anything else. Given the situation, it would be easy for her to slip away.
We should talk to her, but there's something else you need to know before I get distracted. I think there could be another target.
Aladir tilted his head to the side.
Another target? Why?
Hartigan told me about another member of House Theus, a cousin named Larkin. He changed his name to Landon.
The Rethri Paladin narrowed his eyes.
Your Paladin candidate friend?
Yeah, that'd be him. I plan to go warn him as soon as I'm done here. He should probably be taken out of the Paladin examinations until the assassins are found. The exams are a very convenient time for a would-be killer to strike.
Agreed. It would be easy to make a fatality look like a tragic accident.
Aladir folded his arms.
But wouldn't he make another likely suspect as well?
Yes, but he's never shown any interest in his family, and Hartigan said he didn't think Larkin had any reason to want to hurt them.
Hartigan? You actually managed to speak to him? I'm a little jealous right now.
He gave a weak smile. He's one of my heroes, you know.
I know. You never shut up about it.
Kind of like you and Taran.
We all have our heroes. Anyway, I'll tell you more about it on the way. I think it's time to find Voriana and have a little chat.
I couldn't agree more.
Aladir led the way through the remainder of the gardens to the entrance to the House Theus Manor. Mare stood vigil at the side door wearing a somber expression. He nodded absently as the pair approached.
I suppose I should probably say something about what happened.
My apologies for being absent over the last few days, Mare. I heard you were instrumental in the defense of the manor.
The guard shrugged.
Wasn't enough.
I won't press the issue, but you should be proud that the assassins were repelled, regardless of the aftermath.
After a pause with no reply, she added,
I would like to pay my respects to the lady of the house. Is she present?
Mare shook his head.
She's here, but she's cloistered herself in her room. Her way of mourning, I suppose. Nakane has always been a private one. Might suggest you visit your friend, though. He had a rough night.
Lydia reached up and absently corrected her glasses.
Is he awake?
Not sure, but I'll wager he'd want the visit regardless.
Aladir glanced at her.
I don't know if waking him is wise, but we can check in at least.
Lydia nodded.
Thank you, Mayor. May we go in?
Of course.
The guard opened the door, gesturing for them to proceed inside.
Hope you found something in your search. We need to nail the bastards that did this.
Might have made some progress, but it's too soon to say.
She stepped inside, glancing back as she walked.
But I'll make sure you know when it's time to make a move.
Appreciate that.
Mayor flexed his hands in the air.
Appreciate it very much.
Come. He's this way.
Aladir gestured, and she swiftly followed. Jonan's room was on the second floor, and they passed a pair of other guards on the way. They wore similar expressions of defeat. Aladir knocked on the door of the chamber when they arrived. There was a brief pause before Lydia heard a familiar voice in reply.
Hmm? What time is it?
Aladir took that as his cue to open the door. Jonan pushed himself into a half-seated position in his bed. He was shirtless, his entire left arm wrapped in bandages. The section near his upper arm showed a hint of dried blood. His hair was disheveled, his forehead damp. A cloth, presumably one that had been on his forehead moments before, was sitting on his lap. His expression was a mixture of pain and confusion. Lydia stepped closer immediately, finding Jonan's glasses case on a table next to his bedside and opening it. She found the thickest pair and offered them. His first attempt to grab the pair missed entirely, but on the second grasp, he managed to seize them and put them on. Afterward, Lydia sat in the chair next to his bed.
Oh, hello, Lydia-shaped blur. You're at least 50% more visible now, thank you.
As always, I live to serve.
She gave him a wry grin, trying not to betray her concern. His skin was damp with sweat, and his breath smelled of sickness. Aladir moved to the bedside, reaching underneath the bed to retrieve a medical kit.
Let me replace those bandages.
There was a hint of disapproval in his tone. Lydia read that to mean that Aladir had asked someone else to rotate the bandages, but whoever he had asked had failed to do so.
That sounds nice.
Jonan gave her a perplexed expression.
My eyes are bad right now, and my brain is blurry, too. Am I drunk? I don't remember getting drunk. Which must mean I'm extremely drunk.
We gave you something for the pain,
Aladir explained.
The effect should fade in a few more hours, but you're probably going to want more of it. Life sorcery makes injuries feel worse before they feel better.
Jonan frowned.
It's going to feel worse? That's lovely. I already feel like a cat is continuously gnawing on my nerves. A very large cat. It is also hungry, and somewhat cunning.
I heard you were very brave last night, Jonan. I'm sorry I wasn't here to help you.
Jonan waved his right arm dismissively while offering his left to Aladir. The life sorcerer began to unwrap the bandages on Jonan's arm.
It's all right, Lid. Can I call you Lid? You should say no. That's a terrible nickname.
She smiled a little more genuinely this time.
You can come up with a better nickname when you're feeling better.
Quite all right. Anyway, better that you weren't here. I mean, yes, you would have been helpful, of course, but I wouldn't want you to be hurt. Not that you're weak or whatnot. Better fighter than I am, of course. You exceed that terribly low standard quite admirably. But there are always risks, and I'd rather you avoid them. Aladir gave her a quizzical look, asking if Jonan was flirting with her, perhaps, and then went back to his ministrations.
That's sweet of you. Are you feeling better now that you've slept a bit?
He nodded, blinking rapidly after doing so.
Somewhat, yes, I think.
How are you?
I'm quite all right. I went and visited Hartigan. I'll tell you more about that when you're feeling better. Suffice to say, he's probably not the one responsible for all this.
Didn't think so. Also, those people last night were Rethri. The ones I saw, at least. Hartigan's smart enough to employ Rethri as a deflection, of course, but it doesn't seem like his style. More of the type to just walk up and incinerate the whole house himself, from what I've heard.
That does sound consistent with my experience, yes. I did hear, however, that there might be another potential target. Do you recall my friend Landon from Orlan?
The bandages had been fully removed. The injuries on the surface of the arm seemed superficial. She recognized the characteristic half-healed entry and exit points that had been treated with sorcery. Faint hints of blood lingered at both wounds, and the surface around each point was swollen and reddened, potentially an indication of infection. From Aladir's grimace, she suspected that was the case. Aladir began applying an ointment from his medical kit and rewrapping the wound. His expression had shifted into one of patient concentration.
Oh, Landon, yeah. Only met him a few times. We tricked him pretty good with that arena stunt, yeah? Holy swords coming out of the sky. That was brilliant.
Lydia smiled at the memory, moving her hand to her cheek.
Well, it would appear that Landon is actually a member of House Theus, which makes him both a potential suspect and a potential target. The former is unlikely, given Hartigan's assessment of Landon's character and my own experiences with him.
Okay, not really keeping up with all this completely. Mind is fuzzy, but if you've got another target, keep a good eye on him, yeah? I'd offer you mine, but I don't have any at the moment.
Right. I'm headed there after I deal with a few things here.
She frowned, realizing that Jonan might not have been apprised of the current situation.
Did you already hear about Nadelia?
Jonan turned his head to the side. What about her?
Oh, shit. She appears to have taken her own life.
The scribe turned his gaze downward. The three were silent for several moments.
Well, fuck.
Jonan balled his hand into a fist.
Fuck everything.
I'm sorry. You did the best you could. The assassins didn't seem to be the ones who got her, so far as I can tell.
Though they...
Aladir began, but she gave him a warning look and he paused.
They all escaped.
Lydia cut in.
Jonan doesn't need to know about the note. Not yet. He's clearly not in any state of mind to process it.
All of them?
Jonan sat up a little straighter, focusing his gaze on Lydia.
That sounds wrong.
Implausible.
We were thinking that as well.
Lydia folded her hands in her lap.
I don't want to worry you overly much, but how well do you know Voriana?
Jonan's lips tightened for a moment, and then he burst out into laughter.
Voriana? You think she's... No, no, that wouldn't work. It couldn't.
He raised his right hand, covering his eyes, and then sighed deeply.
I admit I may have been somewhat hasty in bringing a disguised and horrendously dangerous sorceress into this household. Why do you think Voriana is involved?
Aladir finished bandaging Jonan's arm and leaned up against the nearby wall.
We're not sure, but she went back out to fight after you were incapacitated, and all the Rethri mysteriously escaped. She's an ice sorceress. It seems like she should have been able to capture at least one person, unless she was injured or killed. Which she wasn't.
There's another explanation to that, although you still probably won't like it, and it proves nothing.
Jonan lay back down in the bed, groaning.
What have you found?
Lydia shifted uncomfortably in her seat.
Well, you probably know this. I think I told you. But her real name is Riella Dianis.
We know about that, and that she probably persuaded you to ask me to retrieve her sister.
Gods! I'm not very good at subtlety at all when I'm like this, am I?
The Sight Sorcerer rubbed at his eyes.
You were never very good at subtlety, Jonan.
Lydia chuckled and patted his hand affectionately, but he looked a little hurt in spite of her attempted humor.
I'll be direct, then. She won't want me to mention this, but she implied that her sister may have been involved in making the poison that I've been afflicted with. I don't know why she suspected that, but if I had to guess, I'd say she recognized some of those Rethri.
And let them go deliberately?
Lydia inquired. And didn't put much effort into the chase. But that doesn't mean she was involved. I think she didn't want to be recognized by them. She's been obsessed with avoiding her father's attention since she came into town. Aladir frowned at that.
But he didn't even seem to recognize her when she arrived, and neither did Liara.
My work. Threw a sight spell on her as soon as she walked into the room, making her look subtly different. I excluded you from the spell's effect, so you wouldn't have seen the change.
Kind of you to look after her feelings like that,
Lydia offered. Aladir looked frustrated, which Lydia understood. He had never been pleased by subterfuge, and he had been a part of the deception in the previous evening, even if only in minor ways. Aladir crossed his arms and spoke in a sharp tone.
Her desire to avoid her family does not make her innocent. It could just as easily be a deflection. It just makes her family members look like suspects.
As they should. House Dianis as a whole is one of the most influential houses in the city. I don't know anything of their background with House Theis, but they're worth investigating.
Jonan took a deep breath.
But we should ask Voriana what she knows first. She might be able to help us. And if she is guilty, which I doubt, asking her may give us a chance to find deceptions in her story.
We should be arresting her as a suspect and verifying her claims with sorcery.
Aladir stepped away from the wall, moving toward the door of the room.
We have enough information to indicate that, at a minimum, she probably deliberately let the assassins leave.
Lydia shook her head.
That's not a crime in itself, and arresting her may let the assassins know we're close to finding them, especially if they're from her own house.
How would they know? We can arrest her discreetly.
Her father and sister are still staying at this household, actually.
Jonan groaned, rolling onto his right side.
Ostensibly to check in on me later today. If Voriana is arrested, there's a good chance they'd find out, unless you can just get her to walk out of the complex with you quietly without having anyone else involved.
Which means they had access to Nadelia,
Lydia realized.
All three of the members of House Dianis were somewhere in this compound when Nadelia ended her own life. Let's try talking to her first. Bringing in the city guard to arrest her or anyone else would make a scene, and I'd rather get information first. If she's too evasive, we'll try to get the guard to arrest all three of them at the same time.
Just tell her I'm awake and that we need to talk,
Jonan asked.
And hand me that other pair of glasses. The ones with the silvery rims?
Lydia found the glasses he was asking for in the case and picked them up. The lenses were thinner, but as soon as she touched the glasses, she could feel a familiar sensation. Protection sorcery, mixed with something else within the lenses.
I'll go get her.
Aladir left the room, closing the door behind him. Jonan took the new glasses, putting them on and handing her the other pair to replace in the case.
So, how well do you know your partner?
Lydia turned her head to the side quizzically.
Quite well. We trained together for years prior to my deployment to Orlin. He's a good friend and a hard worker. Why do you ask?
Because he was the first to the scene when Calcirius was killed, but failed to heal him. Then he was conveniently absent when the assassins struck, but present at the manor during the time when Nadelia Theis killed herself. Does that sound accurate?
Lydia tensed, tightening her jaw.
Technically correct, but he's a career healer, and Calcirius was his friend.
right, giving him a degree of familiarity with the household, their defenses, and Calceris's habits. He's not a travel sorcerer. I've checked his dominions myself, more than once. Nor is he a poison sorcerer. He probably didn't poison Calceris himself, I admit that. But if he arranged for himself to be present when the call for help came, he could make sure that no other healers reached House Theus quickly enough to provide life-saving aid. All true, but I think you're deflecting blame because you don't want your friend to be connected.
You're doing exactly the same thing.
One of us is going to be disappointed.
No. Jonan lowered his head. I suspect we both are.
Lydia leaned back in her chair. Is there anything you aren't telling me? Anything at all you can think of that might be relevant?
Jonan reached up, rubbing his forehead with his right hand and grimacing. Let me think for a minute.
Lydia searched her own mind as well.
What other clues do we have? The note? Can we tie that to someone directly? And Jonan is thinking more clearly than we gave him credit for. How much of that earlier disorientation was pretense? If he suspected Aladir from the beginning... But Aladir was going to tell Jonan about the note. I'm the one who stopped that, and if Aladir wrote the note, he probably wouldn't want anyone else to know about it. Unless Aladir had someone else write the note, or the note itself is an intentional distraction. If Aladir is actually the killer, he'd know exactly what to do in order to distract me and sow doubt in my mind. Fresh, that's bad.
Voriana implied that her sister was the one who made the poison, and Liara did prove capable of treating it, at least to the extent that I'm alive. That could imply that Liara was, in fact, familiar with the poison. Or she could just be talented at treating poisons.
That's good, but it's not enough,
Lydia considered.
Was there anything else that we could have missed? Anything strange?
Aladir asked for Liara to come treat my wound, but her father came along. That wasn't all that strange, given that it was late at night, but he wanted to inspect my wound first. When he first arrived, he talked about casting a stability spell on my arm to help with the process, but he only touched my arm once, when he found the ice spell. And then he insisted it needed to be removed for Liara to work, which seemed unusual.
So he had proposed to help you with one type of spell, and then objected when a similar spell was already in place? That does seem odd. Do you think he cast something on your arm when he inspected it?
He might have.
Hold on. Let me touch your arm.
Lydia leaned over, putting her hands on the arm near, but not on top of, the injury.
Dominion of knowledge. Measure the flow of essence within his body.
Normally, she would have used a spell designed for identifying spell effects if she had a clear target to work with, but in this case, she wasn't certain exactly what she was looking for. Closing her eyes, she began to visualize the dominion essence within Jonan's body. Powerful sources of essence burned brightly in his skull. His eyes were the most concentrated area of power in his body, but she could see from the rippling effects in their glow that they had been taxed to near their limit. Most of the dominions she detected within his body were typical: blood, heat, and life in standard proportions. His life dominion essence was focused near his wound, which was unsurprising. He also demonstrated a greater than normal amount of flame essence, primarily concentrated near his hands, an indication that he had some talent at flame sorcery. Searching near the wound, she found small rivers of foreign essence. More dominion essence of life, presumably from Aladir's spells. Dominion essence of ice, from the spell that Voriana had apparently used to stabilize him, and dominion essence of nature, which had apparently been used to treat the poison. The scant remnants of the poison within his body were scattered among larger pools of essence of nature and water. Structurally, the remaining poison looked identical to what she had seen in Calceris's body, but the surrounding dominions looked unusual. Examining the areas more closely, she realized that the amount of water essence was bothering her. There was too much of it. Lydia had ignored the water essence initially because the dominion of water was frequently used to treat poisons, and it also was found naturally within the body. But the proportion was too high to simply represent Jonan's natural resource, especially since he was specialized in the opposite dominion.
Checking carefully, she found some of that water essence bonded to the ice essence, but some of the water essence was a freely floating stream, a separate spell effect.
What's this other water spell connected to the poison? It shouldn't be here. I don't have a spell for digging deeper into the remnants of an older spell effect, but I could try adapting my identification spell and channeling it through this one. Dominion of Knowledge, show me more about this trail.
Her mind throbbed with sudden pain, and she fell backward in her chair, striking the ground. Lydia's vision was black for several moments, her mind blank in shock. Lydia! Lydia, what happened? By the time her eyes fluttered open, she was on the floor, her head in Jonan's lap. She didn't remember hearing him leave the bed. Talk to me, Lydia. What happened? She couldn't remember. She couldn't remember what had just happened.
I don't know.
She did remember something, though. The spell. There was a spell, and she was reaching out to it. You were analyzing something. Spell effects on my arm, I believe.
Right. The spells.
Help me up? Lydia asked. Jonan displayed his injured arm to her. Still not in a great place to do that, sorry. She closed her eyes again. Her temples burned with fresh agony.
Remember. What was the last thing? A green-scaled serpent inside his flesh, tearing him apart from within. A hand reached down and crushed the serpent's head. The body shimmered, the scales shifting to a yellow tinged with blue. It thrashed within the grip, wreaking havoc in the throes of its death, and then it was cast into the rocks, splitting apart into tiny fragments, gradually being worn away by the waves.
The Dominion of Knowledge isn't supposed to be vague, Lydia complained. She kept her eyes closed, rubbing her head. The door to the room opened.
Are we interrupting something?
Aladir's voice sounded alarmed, or perhaps a little embarrassed. Jonan chuckled. Nothing as intimate as it might look. She tried to analyze the wound on my arm and nearly fainted.
That's odd.
She heard Aladir coming closer, as well as a second set of footsteps behind him. When she opened her eyes, she could see his hand reaching down toward her. She grabbed it, and he rested her to her feet.
You figure anything out?
Yes,
she said, still feeling wobbly.
I've been making some bad assumptions.
She glanced toward the door, finding Voriana. The young woman was wearing a simple shirt and trousers, no armor, but she did have a sword on her hip. Voriana looked exhausted.
Can you please close the door, Voriana?
The other woman complied.
What did you find?
Lydia turned toward Voriana. She didn't make any hostile movements, but she already had her comprehensive barrier active, and her sword was not far from reach.
I believe you've been withholding information from us, Miss Voriana.
The Rethri woman folded her arms.
What's that supposed to mean?
Lydia adjusted her glasses.
This was no ordinary poison, and I think you're aware of that.
Voriana narrowed her eyes.
If you're going to make an accusation, you can go ahead. I wasn't the one who poisoned him. I couldn't have been. He saw the crossbow bolt that hit him, and I was with him at the time.
To be fair, you could have poisoned the bolt at any time before the assassins arrived.
Aladir took a defensive position in front of Jonan and looked to be inches from drawing his own weapon. Lydia wished he had stayed near the door to block the exit, but she was also confident that if an alarm was raised, Voriana would have little chance of escape.
Possible, but Dominion essence doesn't last very long in an unstable state, and as Jonan knows, I was using my own water sorcery to make antidotes before the assassins arrived.
Jonan nodded.
That part is true, but there are ways of stabilizing Dominion essence, and I know you're at least somewhat familiar with them.
Voriana looked at Jonan, giving him a hurt expression.
Like your ink, yeah. But if I wanted to kill people from House Theus, I've had better opportunities. You left me alone with Nekane just last night, and she's still plenty intact.
This whole line of conversation is sounding more accusatory than I wanted it to.
I don't think you killed Nedelia Theus, not after what I just saw.
Lydia folded her arms.
But I do think you know who did.
Voriana took a step back, closer to the door. Aladir tensed, looking ready to strike at any moment.
I don't know anything for certain,
The Rethri woman quickly glanced toward each of the people in the room, and Lydia felt an inclination to believe Oriana's words.
"Let me tell you what we know, then. You told Jonan to have Aladir bring your sister, claiming she might be involved. I just took a good look at the remainder of the poison in his body. Someone manipulated it before the nature sorcery effect eradicated it. Was that you?"